Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. Good morning. It is March 18th, 2022. Hope everyone is doing well. It's a beautiful day here on the Delmarva. Foggy, low visibility, perfect. You know, I love days like this. My buddy James reached out to me this morning, or yesterday. He said, hey, you want to go for a run? I said, absolutely. Interesting. That's so funny. I just said that, and I just got a text on my phone that said, hey, bud, thanks so much for this run this morning. I'm very grateful that we have shared all these great runs over the years and continue to do so. Have a great Friday and weekend. Much love, my friend. Wow. There it is right there. That's it, right? That's sobriety for me in a fucking nutshell. You know, I didn't have that happening to me prior to getting sober. I didn't have that happening to me prior to having normal relationships, right? I never had someone text me, hey, man, thanks for scoring me them drugs, or thanks for drinking all that vodka with me. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate the years that we've had. Those kind of texts did not happen. Thank you, James. I do not know if he listens to this podcast, but I love that guy. And that's he's a great example of sobriety for me. You know, I came into the rooms just a puddle of nothing, and I meet guys like him. He's a doctor. I've talked about it, the doctor. And I remember Ego was like, you have never had a friend that's a doctor. This may look good on your resume. Oh, so you've had friends that are doctors. I remember. This is my buddy James. He's a doctor. You know, I was so far down that it just felt good to have friends like that. And I don't think that people like James and my buddy Matt and my buddy Scott and all these guys that were great examples to me early on getting sober even knew. You know, they're not playing this role as the good example. They're hanging on by the skin of their teeth as well. And, you know, my buddy texted me, or, you know, he called me and wanted to know if we'd run. I was like, absolutely, thank you. Because I wasn't going to do it. I'd lost the willpower. I'd lost the desire. I had lost it. You know, talk to me 2 years ago, running 3 days a week, 4 days a week. And granted, I don't know if that's even good, right? I don't know what that was about. You know, if you ask me, I'd love to tell you it was about my health. It's about looking better, right? It's always about ego. And I feel like over the last couple of years, my ego is just slowly, whether it's my age, sobriety, pandemic, but my ego has just kind of sat down and really taken a chill because I'm not driven to run. I'm not motivated to look better. I mean, I put on some weight. I mean, I'm all right. You know, I'm not going to freak out. Still feel fine. Still wearing my 34s, right? But, you know, I can feel the weight. I can feel the difference. And, you know, every day I say, I'm going to start running. And then every day I don't do it. And, you know, whether it's getting sober or running, you know, it's nice to have people in place like that that help. And him calling last night and asking me, I was like, yes, thank you, please. And we ran this morning, and it was just an amazing run, right? I mean, the temperature was okay. Wasn't that cold? Super foggy, right? The kind of fog like that just as you run, you get just wet. Just mist. And it was pitch black, and we ran with our headlamps, and we just have the best time. You know, and every time we run, we somehow some funny joke comes out. I always say, you know, we should sit down and write some jokes and do a stand-up routine. That's totally in my bucket list. I'd love to do just a 10-minute set, right? You know, I've always thought I was funny. What I was a sarcastic asshole that made people laugh because I couldn't show up as just a regular person, so I had to be the clown guy. So all my life I've been told, oh, you're funny. You're funny. I don't think I'm funny. I think that I'm a insecure, frightened little kid inside, and that was the best way that I could fit in was to hurt people's feelings and make fun of them. And luckily the program and, you know, people like the doctor and Matt, and, you know, and my buddy Scott, you know, reminded me, hey, you know, sarcasm, the tearing of flesh, I think that is the definition. I'm sure there's variances of it, but in the end, the general definition is sarcasm is the tearing of flesh. And I was like, God, I never thought of it like that. I thought I was just being funny. No, you're being funny. I was being funny at the expense of others, and that ain't cool. You know, that's self-serving self and self-walking away feeling better while there is a trail of human debris behind me of people going, what the fuck just happened? And I shared that time when I called my buddy Scott a chatty Cathy, and he looked for me right in the eye and he said, you know, that hurt my feelings. First of all, I wasn't used to someone basically telling me, hey, man, you hurt my feelings. You know, usually I'd be like, fuck you. Go fuck off. Ah. But, you know, men being men, right? Men in recovery. Men taking it back to basics. The reality is that hurt my feelings and I need to let you know. Was he letting me know to hurt my feelings? I don't think so, because I never took it as that. What he did was he shined a little light on, you know, my lack of realizing how I hurt feelings through words. And just another great gift. But, you know, to run this morning and we end up saying funny things. And I'm like, there's number 7. I think all we need is like 15 jokes and we might be able to get through it. So it's just a really great way to start the day. Feeling super grateful. And anytime this happens, anytime I suffer, right? I'm not living unless I'm suffering. And for the last month, I have not been living. I've been there. I've been participating, sort of, but not living. And to me, what living is when I can work through the good and the bad. When the good is bad and the bad is good. You know, I think I was telling somebody the other day, these goals that we put in place, like being a millionaire or having a car or a beautiful wife or a handsome husband and beautiful children and all these things, these top tier level kinds of things that we shoot for, sets this benchmark that if you don't do these things, you're not good enough. And this is for me, you know, I may be the only fucking idiot on this planet that feels this way, but, you know, I remember as a kid, what do you want to do? What do you want to do when you grow up? Be a millionaire. What the fuck does that even mean? You know, what does that even mean? Do you want to deal with all the shit that comes along with being a millionaire? Right? Because there is a lot. You know, I've lived on this planet 53 years. You know, we're watching something happen now with this war and this stuff going on. And, you know, these people are, you know, it's funny when there's an opportunity to attack people that have success. I don't know, like these oligarchs, I don't know if they have success in their world. They're successful from, you know, the U.S. and other people. They're not successful. They're criminals, I guess, but they're fucking going after these people, taking all their stuff, you know, and these are people that you thought were sort of untouchable, right? Because they were billionaires. And I don't know much about it. I'm not going to get into it, but it's just, you just never know. There is no finish line. You know, I was telling my buddy James this morning, I go every day, you know, I have 13 years of sobriety. My buddy James, I think, has almost 30 years. And every day we wake up and every day we're a fucking mess, you know? Every day I have to address the mess. Grab my tools. Start fucking figuring it out. What's up? What's this about? What's this about? I have to take an honest look. And then I have to pray about it. And there's that relationship, right? That God. the God relationship. I thought I would read. The foreword with the steps, and you know, in the foreword in the contents, there's you know, it lists the steps, and then it has a little brief summary of the step. And I just thought I would read it because so you got your step one: we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. And then two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So what I take from that really is that I came to believe that a power greater, like I've put this, I'm so into me. I'm such a salesman of me. I'm such a promoter of me that in my mind, I'm so great that I have to come to believe that there is a power greater than me. Now, if you ask anybody else, I'm just a normal person, but in my mind, I'm my favorite subject, right? So came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I love how it says ourselves, because from the beginning, step one, we. You know, I got me here. It's an I problem. Me, me, me. I'm the one that got me here. You know, I didn't show up to the program with 500 stories of somebody making me drink. I showed up to this program with a busted lip and 500 stories of me drinking because I wanted to, not because somebody else. But that same philosophy, that same I philosophy is not going to get me sober. So it says it right in the first fucking word of the steps, we. It's going to take us to get you sober. Or it's going to take them to help me get sober. But we admitted. I've already said I'm deficient in humility. What's the opposite of humility? Not admitting. We admitted. That's the first humble thing I'd probably ever done. We surrender. Can you come into a program like this and get sober and not surrender? I don't think so. Let me just read the step real quick because I'll get fucking on another tangent here. So, and then step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step three is like opening of a locked door. How shall we let God into our lives? Willingness is the key. Willingness is the key. Willingness, I think, falls in the same category as surrender, admitted. You know, it's all humble. Humility. Dependence as it means to independence. Dangers of self-sufficiency. Turning our will to a higher power. Misuse of will. Power sustained and personal exertion necessary to conform to God's will. All right, I'm going to read that again because that sounded fucking really terrible. All right. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Step three is like opening of a locked door. How shall we let God into our lives? Willingness is the key. Dependence as a means of independence. Dangers of self-sufficiency. Turning our will over to a higher power. Misuse of willpower, sustained and personal exertion necessary to conform to God's will. I'm always wondering, like, I remember when I was, the God thing came up, and I thought that I was going to have to change how I dressed, change who I hung out with. I thought I was going to have to go to church. And maybe I should. I don't know. I may not be doing it correctly. I might be doing it the half-ass way. I definitely recognize there's a power greater than myself. I don't always turn my will. I don't wake up every day and turn my will over to the power, a higher power. I take my will for a bit. I think I'm not unique in that. In fact, I know I'm not unique. You know, the only people that turn their will over to a higher power all day and do it really well, probably like our monks that sit on the mountain, right? I'm sure there's others, and God bless you, right? But I can tell you that I don't do it that well. You know, I do it when I'm uncomfortable. I do it when I'm upset. I do it when I'm afraid. I do it when I'm pushed into a corner, I have no problem doing it then. But I don't wake up in good times and say, hey, Lord, I'm turning my will over to you. I don't do it. And I could be better, I guess. I'm not always sure how to do it. I know that when, you know, and there was someone that's close to me and they were talking about how they were really having a lot of anxiety. And, you know, my suggestion was, why don't you pray about it? But the fact is that that is an idea for me because I've worked through a program and have gotten to this point where I realized that most of the time anxiety is just me not getting my way. And I pray about it. But with somebody that's kind of like, and I don't want to use the term dry, but sort of dry, right? Not drinking, but just miserable, right? And I'd love to say, listen, the problem is you're just not using a program. You've quit. But now self has run rampant. That's where this program comes in. It's so important. So it's tough when someone's going through that. And but what I did say is, I said, stay in the moment, right? You are where your feet are. Right here, right now, there is no anxiety. If I'm focusing on what I'm doing right here, right now, I have zero anxiety. But if I start to tiptoe into the future, you know, I'm a busy day. If I start kind of thinking about it, if I start to, oh, geez, what if someone doesn't show up on time? What if somebody's running behind? And then I start having this anxiety for a situation that hasn't even happened. This happens to me every day. And at the end of the day, when I walk into my salon, I say, that was a great day. I don't even know what I was worried about. It always works out. Or if I start reminiscing on yesterday or the past, I feel a lot of, you know, regret and shame. And that starts to make me feel unrest and uneasy. And then it starts to happen again. And I have to tell myself, bro, you are where your feet are.
Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. Hey, that's me and I want you only. Don't turn me home again, I just can't face myself alone again. Don't run back inside, darling, you know just what I'm here for. So you're scared and you're thinking that maybe we ain't that young anymore. Show a little faith, there's magic in the night. You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're alright. Oh, and that's alright with me. You can hide with your colors and study your pain. Make crosses from your lovers, the roses in the rain. Waste your summer.
Thank you for sharing, sir. So, yeah, I'm just, you know, I've been talking a lot about God, and the problem really And I'm not here to tell anybody what to do. I sometimes say you, and I try to fix it. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm not going to say I don't care. I hope the best for everybody. I hope that if someone's on the edge of struggling or wanting to quit, I hope it happens. But I can tell you that I can't worry about you. I can only share what's worked for me, and I can tell you that my life didn't start to improve until I started to figure out a relationship with God. Damn it, right? There's versions of a relationship with God that they'll let you have, which is awesome. Doorknobs, stuff like that. You know, I think it's really about getting into the moment and practicing. You know, early on in recovery, I didn't refer to my higher power at all. I've shared multiple times how my relationship was with the higher power, and I was pretty disappointed. I was pretty disappointed, but I also found at some point in my recovery that I had moments that I was absolutely fucking paralyzed with anxiety and pain and fear. And powerlessness, right? Maybe powerlessness is the word. And all those other ones come under it. But to be powerlessness is tough. And I've shared that time when I had that project and I was powerless and it was either kill somebody or pray. And I had to pray. And I had to turn it over, and I found relief. As weird as that is, as weird as that sounds, why should that happen? Why praying should make you feel better? But I can tell you, until this happens, until I figured out a relationship with something like that, everything else was self-serving. Have you ever had one of those moments where you're all of a sudden you have this like God moment? You're like, wow, okay, now I get it. You know, I thought I had a drinking problem. I thought I was here because I drink too much. Yep, you are. I was. But that is easy to fix. Easy, easy, easy. That was the easiest part of this whole program for me, was to quit. You know, and would love to tell you a story of how self decided it was just a time. But it wasn't the case. And it's never the case. You know, it takes driving down the wrong way, fucking into an accident. It takes getting your ass kicked. It takes, you know, grabbing someone, a friend, you know, a coworker's ass, whatever it is that really exposes self for, you know, it's, you know, there's always selves under the water, right? But when that fin comes up, it's like, oh shit, clear the fucking beaches. And those are the moments, you know, getting my ass kicked was that moment. Self got his fucking ass kicked too, and I was able to take a breath and a break and get involved. But you know, it happens to all of us. You know, we show up. It's staying. Can I stay with this? You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I think they were on day 13 of not drinking. Of course, it was for Lent, right? I'm like, well, why don't you just not drink? Why don't you just continue? Well, I like a beer. But this person's talked to me about, you know, their fear and their problems that they have and their concerns. And I've heard this 1,000 times from 1,000 people. It's probably like Bitcoin, right? You know, you're kind of interested, right? And you hear somebody that knows about it, and you take a second and you bend an ear for them. Let me explain to me what this is about, right? Do I want to get into this? The problem is that there is no on-paper explanation of this process. I couldn't write it down. You have a program, you have the past, you have the future, and you have the present. And I think it's how I handled the past and the future, and how I handle the present. But I can't let the first two affect the last one, right? And when the last one is affected by the first two, that's when I have to start realizing that self is fucked up and I need a higher power. And you start to pray. And that's what I did. I started to pray. And I don't do it well. You know, the book, the program suggests, you know, put your shoes under your bed, and while you're down there, say a prayer. And then we get into the rightly, right? Are we praying rightly? Are we living rightly? You know, because that hour we're together in that meeting, we all look pretty fucking great. But it's the other 23 and the other 6 days or however many meetings I get to or how many other meetings, other people get to. But it's that hour I look really good. But how do I carry myself for the rest of the day? That's the tough part. Because if you don't carry yourself, if I don't carry myself well throughout the day, I start to feel like using different things is an option. And then shit, you start over, which I've done. I'll never forget the time where I, you know, started drinking, and it was funny, my buddy James that I ran with this morning, he came and visited me out in Easton when I was living there, and he said, you were just different. And I was secretly drinking. And he's like, you were just different. I remember opening the door. I wasn't expecting him opening the door. The house was dark. I wasn't drunk, I don't think. But my whole persona had shifted. And just, you know, somehow coming through that. I heard someone say at a meeting the other day, I think if I drink, I won't be back. You will. You'll be back. Because it's fucking brutal. I remember the first drink I had. The first thing I wanted to do was get back to a meeting, but I couldn't stop. I couldn't quit. The magic, the gift was gone. Unfortunately, it would take another brutal kick to the ass to fucking snap me out of it, and that would be my wife leaving me. Actually, she didn't. It wasn't even that. I've shared the story. She left. I drank for another week. I made a fucking desperate phone call to Marvin, and he came and got me. And then, you know, 2 years later, changing my sobriety date one more time because of pain pills. I mean, for God's sakes, Tom. All right, let's see if I can read a little daily reflection, and then I'll let you go. I appreciate you letting me share. Oops. Yeah, go for a run. I've shared this before. I found out more spiritual stuff about me through running than anything else. Than anything else. I know that might sound weird, but it's very true. You know, I'm not living unless I'm suffering. You know, if I'm running, it's suffering. If I'm at work, it's suffering. It's, you know, what would self would rather do? Self would rather retire. Sit on a couch and watch TV. Self's lazy. Okay. Let's see if we can find one real quick. And then, all right. Real independence. March 18th. The more we become willing to depend upon a higher power, the more independent we actually are. The more we become willing to depend on a higher power, the more independent we actually are. Interesting. I start with a little willingness to trust God, and He causes the willingness to grow. The more willingness I have, the more trust I gain. And the more trust I gain, the more willingness I have. My dependence on God grows as my trust in Him grows. Before I became willing, I depended on myself for all my needs, and I was restricted by my incompleteness. Though my willingness to depend upon my higher power, whom I choose to call God, all my needs are provided for by someone who knows me better than I know myself. Even the needs I may not realize as well as the ones yet to come, only someone who knows me that well could bring me to be myself and to help me fill the need in someone else that only I am meant to fill. There never will be another exactly like me, and that is real independence. Yeah, and I agree. You know, that is, you know, that moment in saying that prayer and finding relief, I trusted that. I believed in that. And unfortunately, years into being sober, that was really the beginning of a relationship with a higher power and trusting in it. And knowing that I want nothing. And the fact that I want nothing, gives me the opportunity to get something. Have a great day. Bye.